Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Brait Investor Presentation. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Peter Hayward-Butt. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning to all our stakeholders. Thanks for giving us your time this morning. I know things are busy with what's going on in the country, so we very much appreciate your giving us your time. The transaction we announced yesterday, which we can go through today in a bit more detail, you know, has been a culmination of many months of discussions between stakeholders and the board. The board has considered many different options over the last probably 6 months, to be honest, in terms of how to optimize the outcome for all stakeholders and the company itself. It set itself some objectives, which we will talk about in the presentation, to achieve in any recapitalization. And we've obviously gone as the advisor to the board and tested the market on a number of initiatives, including obviously a placing of the Premier shares. So I think where the board has got to and announced yesterday is a consensual 3-year extension to the current bond terms. And this transaction will buy Brait time to choose the earliest, not necessarily a 3-year window, but the earliest and optimal exit window for the assets it holds. I think there's a recognition, certainly with most stakeholders, that the impact of COVID, particularly on New Look and Virgin Active, has had an impact on the ability to execute the 5-year exit strategy, which the board set itself out to achieve in 2020. The board remains on that strategy. There is no change in the strategy. It intends to monetize the assets. All it intends to do is to choose the optimal window to enable itself to do that. In reality, given the COVID impact on the businesses, there was actually no ability to monetize the asset base, you know, pre the December 24 maturity date. And that's the transaction that was announced yesterday. Significantly reduces the group debt by about $2.4 billion and enables Brait to find the optimal window to exit those assets that that I referred to. Moving on to the presentation in terms of the executive summary, the first key thing to notice is was a consensual 3-year extension. We managed to get the requisite number of convertible bond and exchangeable bondholders to approve the restructuring through giving us irrevocable commitments, and we are very grateful for the engagement that we had with all of those over the past 3 months. The extension to the terms includes a small increase in the coupon for the convertible bond and the exchangeable bond, and a pro rata repayment of both instruments, so a reduction in both instruments. In addition to that, there will be an equity capital raise of 1.5 billion rand in the form of an underwritten rights offer. Titan has agreed to underwrite it at a 25% discount to TERP. That equates to a rights issue price of around about 59 cents compared to a theoretical ex-rights price based on the pre-transaction price of around about 80 cents. All shareholders will have the rights to participate in this rights issue, but obviously the commitment from Titan enabled the board to have a fully underwritten and fully funded proposal upon announcement. Again, something which we and the board are immensely grateful for. And in terms of irrevocable commitments, as I mentioned, we've got 80% of the convertible bondholders, which are all of the ones that we had discussions with, have signed irrevocable commitments, and similarly 73% of the exchangeable bondholders, which are all of the ones that we discussed with, have also given us commitments to support. We haven't been able to speak to ordinary shareholders over the past 2 to 3 months. Obviously, no ordinary shareholder wants to be taken over the wall for that long, and obviously over the next couple of days, we will spend some time with those ordinary shareholders to get irrevocable commitments to get to the 50% level. One of the things that definitely came out of the discussions was the relatively unanimous or very unanimous confidence in the Brait portfolio of assets. We will talk about the portfolio and how it's performing. Virgin Active in particular has really had a step up in its performance. We'll talk about that. Its run rate has increased to £80 million from £30 million in September, which is a massive credit to the management team that is currently running Virgin Active and the changes that they've made over the last 18 months. Premier, in addition to that, will announce its results next week. Its performance has continued very, very strongly, both on an absolute and a relative basis compared to its peers. And we will see those results next week, but I think it's true to say that profitability will have grown, pretty significantly and in line with the consensus numbers that are currently in the market. And New Look, whilst it's a slightly smaller part of the portfolio, has also performed particularly well in difficult market conditions. EBITDA for the year will likely end up in a relatively similar place to last year, which is around about £40 million. Again, a pretty credible performance given the difficulties in the UK fashion retail space, which anyone who reads any newspaper in the UK will have gleaned. So all three assets have been performing particularly well, I would say, in the last 6 months, and we will touch on some of that performance in the presentation today. So in terms of the transaction, what does it enable us or enable the company to do? Firstly, it's to continue to optimize the portfolio in preparation for an exit. There is no change in strategy to exit the portfolio or to invest into any new portfolio companies. The board will exit this portfolio. All that will happen is they have the ability now to choose the right window to do that. I've stressed in some of my engagements in the media, which I don't know if anyone has read, that this isn't a three-year extension. We have a three-year extension. That doesn't mean we will take 3 years to exit the portfolio. The board will choose the optimal window to do so and ensure that they maximize value for all stakeholders in the business. In terms of the current cash cost, there's a very limited increase in the cash cost. In fact, it's nigh on zero, which means that to the extent that the recapitalization goes through, there will be a very small increase in the interest payable by the company, which, given that base rates have increased from around about 50 basis points in 2020 when the debt was put in place and is now sitting at around 4.5%, is a very credible outcome. Just moving into the objectives, I mentioned this at the beginning. What were the objectives for the board in terms of deciding on what to do in terms of the recapitalization? From a Virgin Active perspective, we will talk about the performance, and it, as I said, has continued the recovery trend. As I mentioned, £80 million is the current run rate in EBITDA. It's slightly higher at the end of April, but that was at the end of March. And I think what is important in that is to ensure that that business is given the time to continue that recovery, continue to invest in parts of the business and need to, and de-risk any recovery, in that business. So that's the key objective from a Virgin Active perspective. From a Premier perspective, I think the importance when you see the results next week is how well that business has continued to perform. From a Brait shareholder perspective, there shouldn't be any, mad rush to exit that stake. We are not a forced seller of that. We've bought time to be able to benefit from both the profit growth, but also what we see as a multiple value accretion over time in that business. And I stress that whilst we will exit the business over time, there's no rush to do so. We're not locked up, but on the other hand, we certainly don't see any reason to sell shares into a weak market. From a New Look perspective, the green shoots of recovery definitely are there in the UK fashion retail space. Us and our partner there, Alcentra, who owns around about 40-odd% of the business, are aligned in terms of an exit. And that exit will be driven by, market conditions in the UK. You don't want to be selling assets in a very difficult and moribund economy. We are starting to see the benefits of consumer sentiment in that market turn, and we would hope that in the next 12 to 18 months that we're in a position to monetize. So again, as an objective for New Look in this whole transaction, it was to buy time to enable us to hit that optimal exit window. In terms of the capital structure at a Brait level, in terms of the maturity extension, we wanted to ensure that there was sufficient time to choose that optimal exit window. As I've mentioned, all maturities have been extended, including the Virgin Active International debt, to December 2027. The only one that still requires an extension and we're currently working on is Virgin Active South Africa, and we're in well advanced in discussions with the lenders of that business to extend their maturity to December 2027. From a cash perspective, obviously limiting the cash cost increase of any extension was a part of the discussion with the stakeholders around the convertible bond and exchangeable bond. And I think anyone who's close to the market will recognize that somewhere between a 1% and 1.5% increase in the cash coupon on a fixed basis is a very credible outcome. We've also managed to reduce the company debt. We're paying down $900 million of the convertible bond and exchangeable bonds combined, and that will reduce the interest payable overall for the company. And then lastly, and probably equally importantly from an ordinary shareholder perspective, we didn't want to be issuing equity, any additional equity in terms of to the convertible bond or exchangeable bond holders, which would have resulted in a more dilutory impact. So there is no non-pro-rata equity issuance to either the exchangeable bond or the convertible bond holders. So that has limited dilution. Obviously, the rights issue which all shareholders have the ability to follow, will be conducted at a discount to the NAV and a discount to the market price, but that enables all shareholders on a pro rata basis to participate. And again, that was a key objective of the board. So what does the transaction entail? I'll talk about it in the four boxes. The first is the rights offering. The rights offer is available to all shareholders. It's underwritten by Titan, so you know there's certainty of proceeds, but all shareholders will have the opportunity to participate. The rights issue price will be at 59 cents per share, which is a 25-cent discount to 79 cents a share, which is a theoretical ex-rights price, which determines where the share price should be trading based on the pre-announcement and the post-announcement share price. The capital will be used to facilitate the amendment. So this was a requirement to ensure that we could get the amendments on the convertible bond and exchangeable bond. Those holders weren't able and weren't going to provide the requisite extension without some form of commitment of capital from ordinary shareholders. And it will be used for general working capital purposes to ensure we have a fully funded business case. It will also be used for potential investment in existing assets. I'll talk a bit about that later, where required, and obviously then a repayment of the company debt over time. So all in all, this results in about a $2.4 billion reduction in the debt in the business. From an extension on the convertible bonds, we have a three-year extension to December 2027. There will be 150 million rand of the convertible bonds repaid at par plus accrued interest on a pro rata basis. And as I mentioned, the coupon increases from 6.5%, which was set in January 2020 when the base rate was 4.5%, and there was optionality in the bond. That increases from 6.5% to 8%, of which 7.25% is payable in cash, and the rest is rolled up and will be repayable at the end in payment in kind. So overall, it's 8%, of which 7.25% is in form of cash. In terms of the exchangeable bond, again, a three-year extension to December 2027, a pro rata repayment of the principal of the bond that's accrued interest. So that will be a reduction of that level of debt from $3 billion to $2,250. The coupon increases from 5% to 6%, of which 25 basis points of that 6% is also payment in kind, which will be rolled up and paid at the end. In terms of the strike price, because the 686 million shares underlying the exchangeable bond remain, the strike price reduces by 25% from 4.37 to 3.28 pre the rights issue. We will talk about what it means post the rights issue, but there are no additional shares issued to the exchangeable bond holders. This is the existing shares that remain underlying the exchangeable bond. And then lastly, in terms of the revolving credit facility, it's currently undrawn. We don't necessarily think we will draw much on it, but we have extended that also in line with it to March 2028 and increased the size of it to the extent required. So from a transaction perspective, what does it show? I mean, it demonstrates the unequivocal, to be honest, shareholder support for the company. There was not one stakeholder who we spoke to who didn't believe in the value of the assets. I know some people on Twitter don't, but certainly the stakeholders that we spoke to and have been speaking to over the last 3 months genuinely believe that there's unrealized value in the portfolio. There's new capital to support portfolio growth and reduction in debt. 3 years of maturity runway really provides the board the optimal window so that it can choose to elect when to sell the assets and isn't a forced seller. And there's 900 million of reduction in debt, but overall a 2.4 billion reduction in net debt in the company. There's obviously a de-risk the bondholders' positions as well, facilitating no increase in running costs, so there's very limited increase in running costs in the business. And the reduction in the EB strike price, the exchangeable bond strike price, benefits not just the exchangeable bondholder, but the convertible bondholders as well, in that it reduces the cash consideration payable and an equity settlement election option. So moving on to the key investment highlights, I did say I would just talk quickly on the portfolio. I'm not going to dwell much on, you know, what has happened since March 2020. I think there are a couple of points just to anchor the discussion. However, I think Virgin Active, when you see the numbers in a couple of slides time, I think everyone will recognize this business has more than just turned the corner. It's doing really well, both, again, compared to its peer group, and very importantly, it's doing well internationally. I think the South African business continues to perform well, but the actual outperformance is coming in the form of the international business, which, given that the yields on our international memberships are significantly higher, is a massive positive for the group as a whole. If you look back to where the business was in March 2021, at the peak of COVID, The business was running at a effectively EBITDA loss of £61 million. Where are we today? We're back to about currently 90% of the membership levels we had pre-2019, with a run rate of £80 million as of March. I think that's a significant turnaround, and I think all credit must go to Dean and the management team, and the benefits of that are continuing to be seen, and we can touch on that later. From a Premier perspective, again, if you go back to March 2020, that business used to make about R1 billion. When you see the results in 2 weeks, EBITDA, based on the consensus numbers, will be over R2 billion, which, again, is a massive credit to the management team there. There's been significant capex spent on the business. And then from a perspective, we managed through the listing of that business and the sell-down that we did in March 2024 to realize about R5.8 billion of proceeds, all at a very significant premium to the NAV back in March 2020. From a new look perspective, I think the most important part of this business was saving this business. It went through two CVA processes. We replaced the management team, injected a bit of equity, and managed recently to refinance the debt facilities there up to 2027. Again, that's provided this business with the liquidity to grow, and we're seeing the benefits of that in the sustainability of the profit growth in the last 2 years. And then lastly, from a break perspective, you know, if you look at the realizations over the last 4 years in really, really difficult markets, I think the company has done a great job, quite honestly, in asset portfolio. Every single one of these has been at a premium to NAV. That's Iceland, Douglas Green Beverages, the sale of Consol, and the past Premier, which altogether has realized R9.1 billion. Pretty difficult realization markets, I think most people would agree. In terms of the strategy going forward, you know, what has changed? I emphasize the strategy is to exit the portfolio and to do it into the optimal window. From a Premier perspective, future monetization will be considered clearly, but it will be absolutely dedicated on market demand at a sensible price for the assets. We are not a forced seller. We don't intend to sell any shares, and I think it's very important for the stability of Premier that we continue there as a supportive longer-term shareholder in that business. However, we aren't locked up, and we have the ability to tap shares to the extent required. From a Virgin Active perspective, as I mentioned, with the current run rate of $80 million, you will remember I've been talking for some time around $121 million, which is the December 2025 EBITDA number, which we value the business off. I wouldn't say $80 million is within touching distance, but since we've grown from $30 million last time we spoke in September to $80 million run rate EBITDA, I would suggest we're getting a lot closer to the tangible achievement of that $121 million. Management remains extremely confident of doing so. I would hope it's before December 25, but certainly by December 25, we would hope that the business is back on that run rate of achieved $121 million that we've talked about. From a perspective of value maximization, the sale would likely happen off the, to say, 25, 26 numbers. So once we've achieved or slightly achieved more than that 121, and we have a run rate number that we can sell into the market, so we would expect that probably somewhere during the 2026 year would be a year that we could look to monetize the assets. The most likely exit of this asset remains a listing. However, you know, we would always continue to look at potential trade options. From a new look perspective, I think the exit timing really will be dependent on both company performance, which I think is looking good, quite frankly, but probably also overlay that with the improvement in the UK fashion retail space. Again, I mentioned we are seeing green shoots of recovery, and I would hope in the next 12 to 18 months that provides us the opportunity to exit this business. Just touching quickly on, you know, how Virgin is performing, and again, you know, I'm not going to take any credit for this. This is Dean and his team who've done a fantastic job. But again, if we take the first 3 months of this year and we compare it to the first 3 months of last year, 2023, revenue is up 18%. Very pleasingly, that is a combination of both increase in active members, so 7% increase in memberships, but even more pleasingly, an increase in yield. That isn't an increase in price only. It shows that some of our high-yielding clubs, those are the clubs in inner city London, for example, and our international clubs, those yields, I'd say 5% of that 10% yield increase is club mix, and about 5% is price increases. But overall, a very credible 18% increase in overall revenue. Sorry. And that has continued, you know, into April. From an attrition perspective, again, one of the key tenets of this whole strategy from a Dean perspective is reducing churn and attrition in the business, and that talks to the whole membership engagement strategy and all the things around the app, et cetera, that has been developed. We're seeing the benefits of that. A 3% reduction in attrition is a very significant increase. I know it doesn't look great. I mean, huge on the face. It is a massive impact on the business, and I think you can see it on the right-hand side when we talk about the run rate EBITDA. So the run rate EBITDA has gone from, call it 8 million in September 22. In September 23, that number has jumped to 50 million. In the last 6 months, the run rate EBITDA, this is just the Virgin Active business, excluding Kauai, has gone to 77. Including Kauai, it's gone to 80 million. So 80 million pounds is the current run rate, for the business. And at the top right-hand side, you know, we have for some time talked about this 121 million number. 118 of that is Virgin Active, 3 million of that is Kauai. So in terms of what do you need to believe to hit 118 in Virgin Active from where we are today at the 77, you either need to believe that we're going to add 120,000 members from 1035 to 1157 and have no yield increase. That gets you to 117 million. I think much more likely is a 65,000 membership increase by December 25 to 1099 and a 5% increase in the yield from where we are today. If you look on the left-hand side, I'll just remind you, we've had a 10% increase in the last year. So assuming a 5% increase from where we are today after December 2025 will get you very close to that 118 million. So again, I'm not a soothsayer. I'm not going to say that it has been achieved, but what I would say is that the company is well on its way to achieving this. You will have seen this chart before. I've just updated it. We showed you it in September. It started on the right-hand side. In terms of the international business, as of September, the international business had 367,000 members. We told you that to hit the September 2025 121 number, we needed to get to 407. That's a 40,000 member increase. We already 60% achieved that already in the first 6 months of that 24 months, and I think that shows how well the international business is doing. So from now till September or December, we only in inverted commas, need to grow the membership base by just under 1,000 members a month. We've been growing at about 4,500 members a month over the last 6 months. The only other driver is obviously yield. As you can see at the top, yield has increased from 60 as of September to 64 in terms of the international business. And to get to the 25 number means we need to increase that by just over 4.5% to 67. So again, both in terms of membership growth required and also the yield required to hit that 121, I would suggest the business is well on track to achieve it. On the left-hand side, we talk about the South African business. A slightly different story here. Again, we need to go from 606 to 691. We're already 25% of the way there, so that's exactly in line with the linear budget. So we needed to grow at 3.8. We've grown at just more than that. Sorry, we have grown at 3.8. We now need to grow at 3.6 going forward. So effectively on a membership basis, the South African business is in line with the budgets required. But actually, if you look at the top from a yield perspective, the yield has significantly ticked up from 476 Rand to 520 from September to March. And to hit the September 2025 number, that yield number needs to get to 539, which is just about a 3% increase. So again, I think the story is slightly different here. I would say on the yield, we're more likely to yield the estate up by certainly more than 3% over the next 18 months, and we seem to be on track from a membership perspective to hit that. So what does that all mean? At the end of the day, the market is valuing currently, this is just the math, if you take the current market cap, the current valuation that the market is imputing onto Virgin Active is currently about 2.9 billion Rand, and that compares with this 9.9, call it 10 billion Rand NAV, which the business is valued at. So just call it a 70% discount. So therefore, on the right-hand side, if you just take that market value, you can work out what is the imputed or implied EBITDA that the business is valued on. Now, I can't tell you whether you believe this is a 6X business or a 9X business. You choose whether you believe value is in the portfolio. But let's, for example, say that you believe this is a 6x EV EBITDA business. That means today you believe that the EBITDA that you're valuing this business off in the market is 107 million pounds of EBITDA. If you believe this is a 9x EBITDA business, you're currently valuing the business off an implied EBITDA of 71. So if on the bottom right-hand side, all we'd say is in 18 months' time, and I would hope it's earlier than that, the business has achieved this magical 121 we've been talking about. What does that really mean from a value perspective for a great shareholder? So again, if you're a 6X believer in this business and you had an implied EBITDA of 107, and we hit 121, there's 15 million of growth in EBITDA under that scenario. At that same 6X means there's a value uplift for great shareholders of about 1.4 billion. If you believe that the business is a 9X business, there's the difference between 71 and 121 is 50 million pounds, which by that imputes a value uplift to great shareholders of 7 billion. So again, you can decide whether it's a 6X or a 9X business, but the value upside for a great shareholder of waiting to see where, to achieve the 121 is somewhere between 1.4 billion rand and 7 billion rand. And again, it's not a forecast, it's merely math. And then lastly, just talking about Premier, you will see the results of Premier in about a week's time. I think people will be happy with the results. The consensus number, as you can see on the bottom left, for the full year 2024 is 2029. I would suggest that you can pencil that in. And that continues to show the very, very strong growth that this business performed back to 2020. It's grown at 20% a year, or more than 20% a year. It's forecast to grow, it has grown at 20% a year. And if you look going forward, it's forecast to grow at just about 10% a year. So again, from the perspective of a great shareholder, why would you wait? There's only two things. The first is the value, and that talks to the multiple. And if you look at the multiple there, currently Premier trades at about 5.2 times EV/EBITDA, which compares to a peer group average of just under 7, and compares to Tiger Brands, which has a lower ROIC, lower growth in profits, and relatively similar net debt to EBITDA at 8.4. So again, if you assume that profitability is going to grow over the next 2 years in this business, as the consensus forecast suggests it will, and you believe there may be some upside in terms of the multiple, then the value of waiting for a great shareholder is shown in the bottom right-hand box. If you assume no reason, we continue to trade, or Premier continues to trade at 5.2 and out till 2026, and all you get is the benefit of the profit growth, there's 750 million rand of value upside. If you believe, however, that we can, and I'm not saying we will, I'm just doing the math, trade at the same multiple that Tiger Brands trades at, which is 8.4, and we get the profit growth over that period of time, over the next 2 years, then there's somewhere up to 3.4 billion rand of value. So again, building on the previous slide on Virgin Active, somewhere between 750 and 3.4 billion rand is what the math would suggest the upside potential is in waiting to monetize this asset at the appropriate time. So just quickly talking about the transaction, we break it down into 7 steps. The first one has been done already, and that was the market placement of 900 million of Premier shares. That reduced the break shareholding from 47 to 35. It was done at about a 6 or 7% discount to the VWAP at the time. And very importantly, the board wanted to test the market appetite for a sizable placing in Premier shares. We went far and wide with 3 different institutional brokers. We spoke to every account that those brokers had, and it was very clear that we could clear at a sensible price, 900 million. We upsized it from 750 to 900 million. But after that, there wasn't incremental demand at a sensible price that we could have placed more. That's a very important point, because when people ask later, why didn't we place more? We went, as instructed by the board, and tested the market appetite for Premier shares at the time. At a sensible price, the maximum amount we could get was 900 million. The proceeds of that are being used to repay 150 million of the convertible bond and 750 million of the exchangeable bond. The next steps, 2 to 7, are all interconditional, starting with the first one, which is a refinancing and upsizing of the BML revolving credit facility. It requires approval of the lenders, which we have, but it also requires the rest of the transactions to complete. We've increased the facility to 1 billion and pushed it out to March 2028. As I mentioned, it doesn't necessarily mean we will use 1 billion. We're not going to pay financing fees on all of it, but it gives us the ability to ensure that we have a fully funded business plan. Step 3 was a repayment of 750 million of the exchangeable bonds at principal of the exchangeable bonds at par plus accrued interest. This didn't require any approval. It's resulted in a reduction in the exchange price from 4.37 to 3.28, and the reason for that was we reduced the principal amount of the bonds from 1,000 rand per bond to 750. The same number of shares underlie the bonds remain, and therefore that's what resulted in a 25% reduction in the exchange price. From a very importantly, if we were to equity settle the exchangeable bonds, there's a cash settlement amount that would be required. Currently, based on the current share price, that would be $2.2 billion. Due to the reduction both in the principal amount but also the exchange price, that reduces from 2.2 down to 1.45 billion rand, a very significant reduction in the cash settlement amount. Step four was an extension in the maturity date out by 3 years. That requires 66.7% of the exchangeable bondholders. As I mentioned, we already have the requisite number of irrevocable commitments received. For that, the coupon is increased from 5% to 5.75 plus 0.25 payment in kind, i.e. rolled up interest paid at the end. Step five resulted in 150 million repurchase of the convertible bonds at par plus accrued interest, so reduced the bonds from about 3.5 billion to 3350. That also required 75% of the convertible bonds holder approval and resulted in a decrease both in the principal amount but no change in the conversion price. Step six, we got an extension on the convertible bond maturity date out to 2027. That also required the 75% approval for the CB holders. Again, we have that requisite number of commitments already, and for that, the coupon was increased from 6.5% to 7.25 in cash and 75 basis points in PIK. Very importantly, the bond is callable at any time. That means to the extent that there's an early realization of the assets, as I've mentioned, this is not about waiting for 3 years. It's about choosing the optimal window. If the optimal window was in 12 months' time, the bond can be called and paid back at par plus accrued interest at any time without any make-whole provisions. And then the final one in terms of step seven was a 1.5 billion rand rights issue at a 25% discount to TERP. The average discount to TERP in the market, based on the advice we've received from our advisors, is about 30%. We managed to get it away at a slightly tighter discount to that, and that requires approval of 50% of the ordinary shareholders. What does that mean? It means the rights offer price is 59 cents. There's already a formula in the exchangeable bond and convertible bond documents as to how you would change the strike price on the convertible bond and exchangeable bond based on a rights issue, and as you can see, the exchangeable bond price would reduce from 3.28, which you saw just above there, to 2.21 post the rights issue, and the convertible bond would reduce from 12.05 down to 8.13. A couple of slides on the numbers. You know, what is the impact overall on the balance sheet? So if you look at the top left, from a cash settlement perspective, the exchangeable bond currently sits at 3 billion. The convertible bond at 3462 based on the current exchange rate. We have about 400 million of cash, so net debt on a cash settlement basis of 6.065. The other way to do it is to equity settle the exchangeable bonds, which the board has the ability to do. That today would require 2.2 billion rand to cash settle if we wanted to equity settle the exchangeable bonds. The convertible bonds at 3.42 with 400 of cash means that the current net debt under that basis is called at 5.2 billion. Post-transaction, the cash settlement amount reduces from 2.2 to 1450. The convertible bonds reduce from 3.5 to, as I mentioned, 3.3 based on the 150 million cash settlement. And obviously through the rights issue, the cash amount goes up by 1.5 billion. Net-net, the net debt has been reduced from 5.3 billion on an equity settlement basis down to about 2.8. Or overall a reduction of about 2.4 billion. In the box on the bottom, what is the impact on net asset value per share? We've looked at this on a fully diluted basis based on the numbers above, i.e. if we were to equity settle the exchangeable bond today, the NAV per share would be 4.66, as you can see there. Post the transaction, you can see the different makeup of the NAV, and overall the NAV per share would reduce to 2.22. On the right-hand side, we just show a table which sets out the following. At the top, we look at the theoretical ex-rights price. That is the price at which, post the announcement yesterday, the price should settle based on the rights issue price at a 25% discount to TERP, is about 79, call it 80 cents per break share. At that level, the cash settlement amount is 1450 I've referred to, and therefore the net debt is exactly what you see up above at 2865, which would mean that the NAV per share is 2.22, exactly in line with the chart on the left. To the extent that Brait share price increases from the theoretical exercise price over the next period of time, and we were to equity settle it, if it moved all the way to 2.21, which you will remember is the exchange bond strike price, there would be no cash settlement demand required under the exchangeable bond. You would settle it in shares. There would be no cash payable. And at that point, the NAV per share would be 2.52. Finally, just over the page, what does that all mean? What we have not assumed here is any growth in the NAV performance. We are assuming that the NAV is just as it is today and showing the impact. Obviously, we would hope, based on the previous numbers that I showed you over the page, that the NAV per share of both Virgin Active in particular and also Premier will increase, but this is on the basis it doesn't. Okay. So the current implied market value is the numbers that I've shown you before, and the NAV is shown on the right, which shows that to the extent that we grow into that NAV per share in Virgin, there's about a 3.4 times growth in value in the Virgin Active valuation from where we are today to where we could monetize it if we achieve that. What do we need to achieve that? We need to firstly hit 121, as I've mentioned, which I'd say we are well on course to being able, well, the company is well on course to being able to do. And the second is then whatever multiple you apply to that. On the right-hand side, what we just show is what is the upside, remembering that the current rights issue price is at 59 cents. If you believe, and again, just to run some numbers off this chart, that the Premier rating does not change, right, remains at 5.2, and you believe that Virgin Active multiple on 121 is 6, then the NAV at that point in time when we realize value will be 1.38. So call that double the price for the rights issue. If, for example, you believe that Virgin Active will be valued at 9 times the 121, then at that point, if Premier is still 5.2, it will be at 2.68. So I call it a 4- or 5-fold increase in where the rights issue price is being based today. Again, on the right-hand side, bottom right, if you believe that we re-rate through Tiger Brands' multiple in form of Premier and you value Virgin Active at 9 times, then the NAV that would be realized for shareholders would be R3.23 compared to the 60-odd cents where the current rights issue price is. And the bottom right shows for an exchangeable bondholder, again, what do you need to believe to be in the money, i.e. above the strike price? On the left-hand side, you need to believe that if we don't get any re-rating in Premier, that you value Virgin at 8 times. At that point, you'll be 3.7% above the strike price. Or again, to the extent that you believe we get a re-rating in line with Tiger Brands' multiple and you value Virgin at 9 times, then you would be 45.8% above the strike price. And finally, just in terms of the transaction highlights, before I talk about the timetable, the first is, and most importantly, there is no change in the board's strategy for the company. It is to still monetize and exit the assets in the optimal window. What the transaction does is it buys optionality and flexibility to choose the earliest and optimal exit window. That's been done at a very small increase in the overall cost of running the business. And I think over 3 years, that is 20 cents, round numbers. So for 20 cents over 3 years cost, in terms of the operating costs and the financing costs of running the business, you get the optionality that I showed you over the previous page. From a reduced debt perspective, obviously it's removed the current overhang, which I think has been a big issue for all shareholders, around how is the company going to refinance or extend the facilities in December this year. That has been done, and we have irrevocables to commit to do so. And there's a net debt reduction overall of about 2.4 billion rand. In terms of the overall cost increases, I've mentioned a very insignificant increase, I think 4 million rand is the number, increase in the cost of servicing the debt, and very importantly, no incremental dilution for ordinary shareholders. No warrants were issued to convertible bondholders or exchangeable bondholders. So excluding the rights issue, which is a pro rata rights issue, anyone can participate, there was no incremental dilution. And then finally, on the equity raise, I mean, two key points. The rights offer price represents a 73% discount to the NAV per share. I think I demonstrated over the previous page, if you half believe in an outcome, even on a worst-case scenario, the NAV is likely to be very significantly higher than that. And then most importantly, it is underwritten. In these very tumultuous times, and no one knows what's going to happen over the next 2 to 3 weeks, the rights offer has been underwritten by Titan all shareholders can participate in it, but it gives the company certainty of funding. And then finally, just in terms of the timetable, the announcement of the transaction was yesterday, and the notices of the EGMs were also posted to ordinary shareholders and to exchangeable bond holders. There is a regulatory process called roughly 21 business days to be followed, and therefore the EGMs to approve the transaction for the ordinary shareholders, the exchangeable bond holders, and the convertible bond holders will happen on the 2nd of July, post our results, which come out on the 25th. The rights issue would then be launched on around about the 8th of July and would complete somewhere towards the end of July. That talks to the slides I've got. I'm sure there may well be questions from various stakeholders on the call. I will hand back to Cora to enable that.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star and then 1 on your touchtone phone or on the keypad on your screen. You will hear a confirmation tone that you have joined the question queue. If you decide to withdraw the question, please press star and then 2 to remove yourself from the queue. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star and then 1. For those on the webcast, you may submit your questions using the text box at the bottom of your screen. We will pause for a moment to see if we have any questions on the conference call. At this moment, it seems we have no questions from the conference call, and I would like to hand over to Peter for any webcast questions.
Thanks very much. There are a number of questions. Let me go through those. The first is from Charles Bowles. What is the cost of the underwriting? What are the estimated total costs of the recapitalization? Further, in the appendix of the thing, it talks to the underwriting fee is 1% that will be paid to Titan, which I think is less than the market standard, to be fair, and the subject of a very detailed negotiation between the company and Titan. The estimated cost overall, I would hazard a guess, I'm just picking a number on my hat, would be, probably be in the region of 25 million rand, if you don't quote me on the number, but I would suggest it's in the region of that, which is payable to advisors, both in the UK and our advisors here in South Africa. Another question from Charles. Brait has a very expensive cost structure to manage 3 assets. What will happen to the cost of managing Brait given the extension? Charles, the answer to that is the fees have been reduced further to I think it's 50 million rand is the annual cost, which is subject to the board's approval on an annual basis. Will the Ethos fund follow its rights? Will EPE Capital follow its rights? I think it's probably more the point. Ethos Capital has got its own board. Its board is meeting later this week. It is supportive of the transaction. It obviously has its own indications from its shareholders as to what it should be doing with capital. I think you would have read a couple of weeks ago that Ethos Capital has moved to a wind down of that structure where shareholders didn't want it to reinvest any further. The board has taken all of that into consideration and is meeting this week to consider what it will do. I can't give a comment on behalf of the board. Charles, again, Virgin Active, my understanding previously is that Brait would exit Premier and New Look and that Brait would become a listed vehicle for VA. This seems to have changed with a strategy to sell or via IPO. Charles, I don't think it's changed dramatically. To be honest, that remains an option. Certainly the indications that we've been given from our advisors offshore is that if we were to list this business, we should try and do it in a location like London. And if we're going to do that, a more simple process would be to list IPO the business and then unbundle the shares to Brait shareholders. So it achieves exactly the same outcome, but it's a much cleaner process to achieve it than trying to re-domicile Brait from where we are today to an offshore location. Next question from Blue Quadrant Capital Management, Matthew Roberts. In regards to the rights issue, it stated 1.5 billion proceeds will be used for working capital investments and then reduction of debt. What portion of this will be used for debt reduction? We would hope, Matthew, that at the end, when we need to repay the convertible bond, all of it will be used for debt reduction. But in the interim, as I mentioned in the presentation, one of the key things that we need to ensure we can get done is an extension of the Virgin Active South Africa debt. That will require some debt repayment in Virgin Active South Africa. So part of the proceeds, and I would say roughly half of the 1.5 billion, may be used to ensure that we can get a refinancing of the Virgin Active South Africa debt. So that is a repayment of that debt. However, it would be structured in the form of an instrument that would get us our capital back to that we put in to refinance that debt. At the same time, we need to refinance the convertible bond in 2027. So effectively, it's a place to warehouse $750 million and get a return to enable us to get an extension. But at the end of that, Brait would receive that those proceeds back in time to repay the debt. So all in all, the full $1.5 billion is envisaged to be used for debt reduction. Charles Bowles again, does your analysis on page 10 showing a value uplift of 1.4 allow for dilution in the convertible bonds? Yes, it does, is the honest answer. There is very little dilution. That is all done at NAV, Charles. So the dilution on the convertible bonds are done at the NAV, which that analysis is run at. So yes, is the answer. Wallace Barnes, despite the good earnings recovery in VA, net debt to EBITDA within the business is still over 5 times. Do you have to put money into VA? If so, for how much? As I mentioned to you, we are looking probably to get an extension on the Virgin Active South Africa debt. We would probably look to warehouse, and I use warehouse advisedly, you know, call it $750 million of that. All the other shareholders will participate as well in that capitalization. That would reduce the net debt based on the forecasts. Again, you know, after sort of the 2021 number that we've looked at, that will enable us to refinance all of the debt in 2026 in Virgin Active South Africa and get our pro rata share of that back as well, Wallace. Dave Everall from Salt Light Capital Management. Peter, thanks for the call. Could you help us understand the need for cash from the rights issue and RCF? Is more capital going to VA beyond the transactions over the last few months? Question two, why is there a need to repay a portion of the EBs? And three, could you unpack what happens with the EBs if the share price in 2027 is below 2.21? So let's answer your first question. In terms of understanding the need for cash, I mean, Dave, this was a very, you know, extensive and not difficult, but tough discussion between three sets of stakeholders, right? We needed extensions from exchangeable bondholders and the convertible bondholders, and part of that was we needed to raise capital. We wouldn't have been able to get any extension that we needed, or certainly on anything like the terms that we've got, without the ordinary shareholders putting in capital. In terms of where the money is going, I think I've outlined, you know, half of that would be used to ensure the extension in Virgin Active South Africa. We will always say, if the right growth projects are there within Virgin to expedite the recovery of that business and the growth of that business and to enable us to exit it on the front foot, we will always look at those opportunities within the business. We're not saying sit here today and say there isn't growth capital going in, but it will be selectively done and it will be growth capital and not for liquidity. Question two, why was there a need to repay a portion of the EBs? Dave, to be honest, very simply put, to ensure we get a reduction in the exchangeable price, strike price required that. That's part of the outcome. And the second point is the exchangeable bondholders also required some form of repayment. The fact that we had raised money by selling the Premier stake, you know, if we hadn't used that to repay them, given that they're first in the waterfall, they would have been hard done by. So the fact of, you know, the matter was we raised $900 million in the form of selling Premier shares. They were the front-ranking creditor, and we used $750 of that to repay the exchangeable bond. It was part of getting a deal done. Three, could you unpack what happens to the EBs if the share price is below 2.21? Relatively simply as it is today, Dave, let's say, and I'm using numbers here to make the numbers easy, let's say the share price in 2027 is 2 Rand and not 2.21. You would effectively give the 686 million shares underlying the exchangeable bonds to those EB holders, and you would pay the 21 cents, the difference between that, in the form of a cash payment. So currently today, that's $1.45 billion. If we had to do that exact settlement today, obviously we're not going to, but if we had to give you the idea, that number would be $1.45. Obviously, as the share price goes from, you know, the theoretical ex-rights price, we'll call it 80 cents, up to 2.21, that amount decreases over time. Sure, I'm talking a lot, yeah? Okay. Nick Cricker from Signal. The rights issue destroys the current 700% upside to NAV. The rights issue price destroys the current 700%. It would have made more sense to sell Premier shares. Were you prevented from selling Premier shares because the shares were being used as security for the bonds? Can you provide more information on the collateral required by the bondholders? Nick, I think I've been at pains to point out that when we went to the market, we went with the three largest institutional brokers in South Africa to every single corporate and institutional account that they were aware of. When we placed the 900 million, it wasn't because we chose to place 900 million only. That was where the demand fell off a cliff, both in terms of pricing and overall demand. So there wasn't the ability to sell any more than the 900 million we raised. I mean, I can't stress that enough. So I know you can ask why we didn't sell more Premier shares. It didn't make any sense, nor was there demand to sell it at a very big discount. Can you provide more information on the collateral required by the bondholders? There isn't collateral for any of the bondholders or the exchangeable bondholders. Wallace Barnes from Stan Capital, which equity holders apart from Titan have provided support for the transaction? Ethos Capital has provided support not to underwrite the rights issue, but support in principle for the transaction. And one other institutional shareholder who is a big shareholder across convertible bonds, exchangeable bonds, and convertible and ordinary shares. We haven't been able to go wider than that for obvious reasons. Andrew Bishop at Excelsior Capital, Virgin Active SA yield improved from 476 to 520 between September and March. What drove this improvement? Andrew, it was a very conscious decision to price appropriately for where we had spent money and capex on the estate. We've probably over the last 18 months spent a significant amount of catch-up capex on the estate, and part of that is to ensure that we can yield up the portfolio, right? That's how you get a return on invested capex. So I think broadly that's what's driven it. In SA terms, it's largely been driven by price increases. It's not really about club mix, although probably 1%, maybe 1 or 2% is club mix, i.e. are slightly bigger, higher price outperformed. But really it's because we've spent money on the portfolio that we've been able to yield it up. Charles, thanks for the direct answers, Peter. Much appreciated. Absolute pleasure, Charles. Very happy to engage. Wallace Barnes, Stan Capital. If Premier multiple re-rates to peer levels with 2024, would you sell more? Wallace, absolutely. The board is not, it's going to choose the optimal window. That talks to a lot of things. It talks to the outlook for profitability within Premier. It talks to the current rating of Premier. It also talks to the needs and the cost of our current capital, right? We could, at any point in time, sell Premier shares and then redeem the bonds, right? Redeem some of the exchangeables, redeem the convertibles if we can get money past the exchange. So it's a very simple math scenario, right? You know what your current cost of debt is, and to the extent you can realize capital at a more efficient rate than that, you should look to do so. So there's no one saying we wouldn't. There's absolutely no intention to do so unless, you know, there's some sort of a re-rating. We genuinely believe that asset is undervalued. So there's no need to, but would the board, if it does re-rate, look to? For sure. Last question I have here from Wallace is, will there be an option to apply for excess allocation of rights in the issuance? That's a good question. Wallace, I have to get back to you. It'll be in the circular. I just can't remember what we agreed to be or what was put in there. I'll have to get back to you, Wallace. I can't remember what was agreed. I don't want to give you false information. That is all the questions I have, but very happy to go back to the lines and see if there's any further questions to answer. Sorry, one other question. Sorry, I think it came through the email channel. From Andrew, please could you confirm how the offer price is determined? The offer price is determined by the 25% discount to TERP. There was lots of engagement with our advisors as to what the market standard was. The average over many, many years, I think, of discounts to TERP is around 30%, so this is a slightly tighter discount than that. It was set at a 25% discount to TERP, so slightly tighter than the normal market, which requires offer proceeds and shares in issue post the rights offer to calculate. Yeah, okay, sorry. You'll see that now in the presentation. But both these terms are defined as up to and not specific amounts. Look, we will raise 1.5 billion rand. That's what's been underwritten, and there will be therefore a set number of shares. So you can do the maths now that you have those numbers, Andrew. Now, question two, both the convertible and exchangeable bonds talk to payment in kind. What does this mean? It just means that the interest is rolled up and only paid on maturity of the bond. So you pay cash interest of X, and you pay payment in kind, which is effectively a rolled-up coupon paid at the end. Question three, what are the updated terms of the exchangeable bonds post the rights issue? What's the new exchange price? That's exactly what I put in the presentation. It goes from R3.28 down to R2.21, to give you an idea, and similarly, the convertible bonds also in the presentation. Question four, the proceeds of the Premier sale were used to reduce the principal of the exchangeable and convertible bonds by $900 million. Can you talk to the purpose of the rights issue? $5 billion, I think I've talked a bit about that. I mean, I think probably $750 is likely to get some form of extension on Barca. The rest is ensuring we have a fully funded business plan. But all of those funds hopefully would be available to reduce debt and come to the repayment time on the exchangeable bonds and convertible bonds. So thank you very much. Those are all the all the questions that I have. As we said before, we are very happy to engage with any stakeholders and provide more information. Please feel free to reach out to us. We don't take your support lightly. We are appreciative that no one wants to have to come to ask for capital. I do think the board believes that this is the best outcome for all stakeholders, and we are very happy to engage over the coming weeks to ensure that that we can get the requisite support. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.